Well, good morning, guys and gals and all those ships out at sea. This is South Cars, South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the South Cars organization. Further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This Cars server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System. That's provided by KB8ZGL. And all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off this system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such, and all stations will be worked in the order in which they checked in. Information regarding our HF operation may be found at www.southcars.com and for our digital operation at www.voip.southcars.com. Your net control and moderator this morning is going to be Kathy, K6SUN, coming out of Vero Beach, Florida. My name is Gordon, call is KY6V, and I'll be her backup this morning. Prior to starting, I would like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time, and if so, call now, please. All's quiet on the Western Front. Do we have any birthdays? Any birthdays today, last week, this week, that like to come up in front of the crowd? Over. Well, it's obvious to the most casual observer that we're not getting any older. This is a Sunday morning rag chew, and the purpose of this net is to bring our members and non-members together in a relaxed and informal atmosphere to enjoy a moderated rag chew. And as mentioned, our topic this morning will be on safety. So let's get it rolling. Good morning, Kathy, K6SUN from KY6V.
Well, good morning, Gordon, and thanks so much for beginning the session, and good morning to everyone. I hope that everyone had a very special Thanksgiving. You know, well, I want to once again welcome everyone to the Sunday morning rag chew. We hope that you enjoy this morning's program. You know, this may be a holiday weekend for some, and who knows, we may be quiet like, you know, last week on the nets, but you are here, and that's important to us. Safety is important to all of us any time of the year, but especially as we're thinking of the holidays. So we want to share some safety tips with you and give you time to share some comments and thoughts as well as maybe some experiences. So let's just get started this morning. In June, the National Safety Council encourages organizations to get involved and participate in National Safety Month. And that's usually when I do a safety net. But this is an annual observance to educate the influence and influence behaviors around the leading causes of preventable injuries and deaths. Many accidents and injuries are avoidable if you are aware of common safety and health risks and by putting safety precautions in place. So I want, before we begin our program this morning, to tell you a little bit about the National Safety Council working to keep us safe. So let me drop it here for just one moment. You know, the National Safety Council is not a for-profit organization that works hard to save lives by preventing injuries and death at home, or work, and on the roads. The NSC is able to accomplish this through education, advocacy, leadership, and research. The council began in the year 1912 at the first Cooperative Safety Congress, which was held by a group of industrial leaders who were worried about workplace safety. They decided to form a permanent council on the subject, and on October 13, 1913, the National Safety Council was formed in Chicago. Over the years, the NSC has worked hard to accomplish numerous goals. They created the Uniform Vehicle Code in 1924, which became a model for national traffic laws. In 1964, they introduced a defensive driving course, and today they have more than 2,500 centers across the country. The course teaches safety to drivers and has greatly reduced the amount of accidents on the road today. And I want to say about that defensive driving course, when you become a certain age, I think over 55 in the state of Florida, maybe around the country, to reduce your insurance, they ask you to take that driving course. And I actually did that last summer, very easy course, and it really reduced my insurance. Let me drop it here once again. Throughout the 1980s and the 1990s, the organization advocated seatbelt usage, and they educated the public about the perils of driving while under the influence. Most recently, in 2009, they have continued to save lives by calling drivers to stop using their cell phones while driving. The official vision of this important organization is simple: making our world safer. They have chapters all over the country who offer skill testing, first aid courses, CPR courses, as well as support for homes and businesses. In the workplace, the NSC works to keep workers safe from injuries, illnesses, and death by working hand-in-hand with businesses through special training programs, procedures, and risk reduction. In the home, they teach family members special skills such as first aid and encourage parents to teach children how to be safe, such as practicing emergency evacuation drills. The NSC also offers online courses, safety manuals, on-site assessments, and training programs. By the year 2014, the NSC expects to prevent 1 million injuries and save 10,000 lives. To do this, the organization partners with the public, with businesses, and with the government. So before we begin the program this morning, how about some check-ins coming in with comments on safety in their home, experiences with safety, safety in your area, how you prepare for safety, or maybe you just went and say hi. And you know, last night we had a session on Black Friday, and you have to have a lot of safety when you're out there dealing with those shoppers in the store. So how about some check-ins coming aboard this morning?
Six, Victor.
Well, good morning, Mr. Gordon. I can always count on you to come to my rescue and be the first to check in. How about anybody else this morning that would like to come aboard and just check in or tell us about some of their experiences with safety? So before I call on you, Gordon, let's see if we can get any others to check in.
Victor Hotel.
All right, I guess I'll start with you two fine gentlemen. Good morning, Steve. And I did see earlier that your son was connected. I'm not sure if he's still connected, but I want to tell him a happy Thanksgiving, belated. So let me call on you, Gordon, to come aboard. Maybe you'd like to share some thoughts about safety, how you're safe in your household, out on the roads, in the stores. Or maybe you just want to say hi this morning. KY6B, before I call on you, thanks for being my backup this morning, but come aboard.
Okay, well, thanks, Kathy. Good morning. Good morning to you, Steve, and everybody else that's connected. Gordon here, KY6B in Central Florida. We started our day off at about 62 degrees in my neighborhood. I'm being told that we're going up to about 74 today. And then turning around, going back down for tonight at about 56. I don't see any rain on the forecast at the moment. Humidity is at 100% currently. And we've got a wind of about 8 miles an hour, I guess, coming in out of the north. HF number is membership number 371. I don't have anything to offer at this point, but you did make me smile about the Black Friday situation in our program last night. I guess my safety advice this morning is watch where you're walking and watch your back. Go ahead, Kathy, KY6V.
All right. Thank you so much, Gordon. Yes, I enjoyed the program last night about Black Friday, and I thought about that this morning. You really have to watch your back. You'd be safe because you could be knocked flat on your rear if you're not careful. Well, it's raining in my area, 68 degrees, and it's starting. The rain is starting to pick up a little bit, and I'm sure my humidity is about 100%. It's supposed to go up to about 77 today, but we're heading back down about 59, probably not as low as some of the others further up north. But doesn't look like a very pleasant day to be outside doing much. It is raining rather heavily at the moment. So with that, thank you so much, Gordon, but I hope that you'll come aboard as we talk about fire safety and school safety and food safety and all kinds of safety. But I'll break with you and I'll pick up Steve, KF5VH up there in Louisiana. Thanks for being here this morning. Steve, and what are your thoughts about safety?
Well, good morning, Kathy, Gordon, everyone else on the net. A sunny but planned to be cloudy day here in Lafayette, Louisiana with 43, a little fog, and looking for a high of 68. South Car's number, Echo 2115. Safety. Easiest thing to do is to try to not get into a problem where you need to respond to it. So, for example, practice fire safety around the house, but also have an extinguisher or two or three. And I think if you sort of repeat that in everything, you come out as good as you can. But the best thing to do is to avoid the problem. You don't go out in crowds unless you have to. You don't fight the traffic unless you have to. Most of the time, if it won't make any difference in 2 years, whether you do it now or an hour from now, there's no sense in pushing it. And apparently there was a little safety issue up in New York City this morning. I'm watching some live video from just north of New York where a metro train has come off the rails with at least a couple fatalities. So you never know. You've always got to be prepared. Back to you, Kathy. Everyone have a great day. KF5VH.
Well, Steve, thanks for sharing that. That may be up in RMO, Gary's location. I'm not sure how close he is to New York, so maybe he'll give us some further information on that. I knew he couldn't be available this morning, so hope all is well up in that area. But I'll have to check that out after maybe the net. And thanks for being here this morning. Thanks for all you do for South Cars and plan to do for South Cars. And congratulations once again for joining our staff. We look forward to the long relationship. Like I said, I saw Jeff this morning connected, and I know he works probably a lot, so he may have been connected from work. That never talked to him on the radio. Hopefully one of these days I will. So let's talk about fire safety, first of all. We are going to talk a little bit, and Steve, if you're still listening, and I hope that you will, we're going to talk about school safety. Since you work in a university, you know how important that is. And last year when I did about school safety, I talked about a little bit about Code Red and how important it is in the school. So we hope to talk about that this morning. Let me drop it here for a moment, and then we're going to first of all talk about fire safety. You know, many people celebrate Thanksgiving in November, and Thanksgiving in most cases means cooking all kinds of food. When preparing food, make sure to keep an eye on the microwave and the stovetop and the oven to prevent a fire. It's best to cook your meat while you're awake and can monitor the food instead of cooking it all night while you're asleep. Doing so is a beneficial preventative measure that ensures safety. You know, I do a lot of cooking in the crock pot, and so it's advisable to be cooking in the pot while you're away. You know, that's a lot of times how I did it when I was at school and no one was at home. I'd put it in the crock pot. But you know, that may not be too great either, especially if you have a short in that crock pot and it could maybe cause a fire. You know, if you live in a cold climate and like to celebrate the Thanksgiving holidays sitting around a fireplace in your home or a fire outside, you want to be careful as well. Whether it's a holiday or not, never leave a fireplace or fire burning without the supervision of an adult. Also, keep flammable objects like paper or clothing away from the fire. If children will be around the fire, explain to them the dangers of trying to touch or throw things into the fire. I'm going to do one more thing, and then I'll ask for some check-ins, but let me drop it first. Going along with the fire safety, let's talk a little bit about the food safety. If you're tempted to cook your Thanksgiving feast just a tad faster for your hungry dinner guests, think again. Undercooked food, especially meat, can cause severe illness like food poisoning. Food poisoning is most often spread by contact with raw or undercooked poultry. So you'll want to make sure that each time a cook handling food, he washes his hands. before and after handling it. You know, so I've been seeing lately that the U.S. FDA does not want you to stuff a turkey. I want to hear your thoughts on that, because this year, I always love a stuffed turkey, and I did it that way this year, but they say it takes longer, and you got to be sure that stuffing is also cooked. So it may also be wise to ask about any food allergies a guest or guests may have that you don't know about. Some people are allergic to things like peanuts or milk, so make sure before making a dish using peanut oil or a dessert using milk. So at this point, I'm going to ask for some thoughts out there, some comments, and for you to check in. So we welcome any comments you have this morning, so come aboard. Well, it's rather quiet out there, so I guess I'll go away from food and fire, and I'll talk a little bit about driving safety. This is very, very important to each and every one of us. You know, if you don't live in a cold climate, you may not have to consider the weather during the month of November, but you'll probably have to consider the traffic of people coming in and out of town for that holiday season. Drive carefully, abiding any traffic signal or signs, and watch out for pedestrians. If you do live in that cold climate, you should consider other drivers as well as weather conditions like snow and sleet, rain or ice. Don't rush in bad weather conditions, or normal weather conditions for that matter, so that you protect yourself from the increased chance of getting into an accident because of such weather and road conditions. Those in the north may want to share their experiences this year too, as far as some of the bad weather that's been happening. So driving is one of the most dangerous activities you will do each and every day. As traffic on the roads increases during the summer months, keep in mind safety tips to stay safe when driving for work or pleasure. Let me drop it here for a short moment. I'm going to give you some statistics from the National Safety Council. You know, the NSC says about 1.6 million traffic crashes can be directly attributed to drivers who are using a cell phone to talk or text. That's 28% of all crashes linked to one cause. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration estimates that at any given time of the day, 11% of drivers are talking on their cell phones, impacting the quality of their driving and the safety of other drivers on the road. Use the National Safety Month to present information and start discussions about this important topic. So we're going to talk about the cell phone, distracted driving. Here in Florida, if you're caught, it's against the law. But they actually have to stop you for some other cause. They can't just stop you for cell phone distracted driving. Cell phone use while driving isn't just a visual and manual distraction, but a cognitive distraction. Take your mind off the primary task of driving. That is why hands-free devices offer no safety benefit, as your brain is distracted by the conversation. When driving, my suggestions are refrain from using your cell phone. I never use my cell phone when I'm driving, never text. Put your cell phone on silent or in the glove box to avoid temptation. It's always on silent for me. Safely pull over and put the vehicle in park to take or make a call. And change your voicemail message to say you are unavailable when driving. So at this point, I'd like to throw it out there once again for any check-ins to come aboard. Maybe you have some thoughts about driving, using the cell phone, or anything we've talked about thus far. So at this point, I'm looking for those quiet people out there to come aboard.
I'll break that silence and one TXP.
All right. Thank you so much, Rick. And, you know, we have quite a few people connected out there, and they may just be listening. But there's some very valuable people out there who have worked in the field of electrician and around fires and on the roofs and, you know, in construction that probably would have valuable information to share. But I thank you for breaking up the silence, because I sure don't want to hear myself talking all the time. So, Rick, give us some thoughts this morning on safety in your household, your area, or anything you have to share. And we're talking about fire, food, driving, or maybe you have some thoughts on Black Friday safety, or maybe school safety, too. So come aboard.
This is N1TXP, Rick in Chillicothe, Ohio. Echo 2102. Safety. I think a lot of it really boils down to just common sense, what you're doing. And people tend to put it aside with other chores or activities that they have in mind to do. I had a cousin of mine who did not like, when she was driving, she wanted total silence to concentrate on driving. That meant no radio, no talking, and that was how she was taught to drive. She said on a couple of occasions that she was riding with somebody and almost into an accident because they were the driver was so intent on listening to a radio that they got distracted from even just listening to music. So she decided, I think it's better to be, you know, take, put your mind right onto driving at the task. As far as house safety, one thing I do is I make sure that I live on a an apartment that's actually on a second floor. I have a deck, and I always make sure in the fall time I have plenty of salt, since it is my way of getting out of the apartment to go down the stairway, to make sure I have salt or sand right near the doorway, handy to have. Let me drop for a second. I just make sure that I have a way to get that cleared off and not have any ice build up. In fact, this last little storm, I made a mistake and cleaned off the ice or the snow that was built up, but it left a little bit of ice, and luckily the maintenance person put a little bit of salt on because I happened to notice the next morning that where there was no salt, there was ice. So, you know, I didn't have my ice supply right at hand, so luckily, you know, it was just a little something I had to keep in mind. As far as school safety, I remember in school, living in Michigan, that teachers were quite, I would say, really drilled it into us about being safe around everything. And I enjoyed the safety drills that we had because it really instilled the idea of, hey, common sense. And I always felt that was a really good thing for us to learn to teach our parents as well, because sometimes the parents don't really keep in mind, you know, what has to be done. But I know my parents, they were very happy to have us, my brother and I, always conscious of safety. And 1VXP, back to net control.
Well, thank you so much, Rick, for sharing that with us. And that brought back thoughts when I lived in Michigan. And I lived there for 55 years, putting up with the winters and the ice and the snow and driving on that. And, you know, one time I was pregnant with my son when I had a really a bad accident because of black ice. Didn't know how to drive on it and turned my wheel the wrong way, and I didn't flip, but it sure sent me into the median, and after that, you know, I was very cautious. But a lot of drivers around you aren't, and so like you're talking about, you can't be distracted by the radio, and you have to concentrate on driving. Even though I don't have the snow and ice down here, I do have those people who are distracted by either talking to others in the car or driving too fast or those boom boxes. I can't imagine that they can concentrate on anything they're doing. Recently, we had a fatalities here in Fort Pierce with three young men who headed out for school in the morning and thought it was the opportunity to see how fast they could go and raced down one of the main highways, and lost control of their vehicle and ended up crashed, I think, into a car wash, a pole, One of them, the driver did die. The other two survived, but it was because they weren't doing what they wanted to should be doing. Their parents didn't give them the proper training on safety. And I hope to share a little bit about school safety because that's very, very valuable to me. But thanks for coming aboard, Rick. And at any point you want to come back aboard, I sure hope that you do. And let me drop it here just for a moment. Had to clear my throat there. I'm going to talk a little bit further about safety belts. You know, that's a required law, using safety belts in your vehicle. But there's so many that don't. Most vehicles are equipped with the safety belts, but sometimes they just don't feel they need those safety belts. So safety belts are one of the most effective safety devices in your vehicle. Safety belts can determine who will walk away from a crash and who will not. Not sure about these three individuals, but they got thrown from the vehicle, so I'm thinking maybe they didn't have seat belts on. Always wear a safety belt every trip, every time. Make sure every passenger is wearing his or her safety belt before you begin the drive. Children should sit in the back and use the proper child safety seat or booster state. Seat. And I'm not sure what the law is. I know taking that defensive driving course gave me some clues on how old a child had to be before they could actually sit in the seat. So let me drop it here, and I'm going to go into a little bit about impaired driving. You know, impaired driving simply means a person's ability to safely operate a motor vehicle is compromised by alcohol or other drugs that change the function of the brain and the body. If you plan on drinking, designate a non-drinking driver for the evening. Never get in the car with an intoxicated driver and take the keys away from someone who has been drinking. If you have been drinking and need to get home, call a friend or a taxi or take the public transportation. You know, and we have that quite often. Aggressive driving is something really bad here in Florida, especially right now. We have a lot of construction going on. As I head to work, US 1, they are completely changing the lanes, a lot of barricades, and if you have that aggressive driver who wants to tear in front of you, it could cause problems. So I want to share a little bit about that. Aggressive driving behaviors can include speeding, frequent and unnecessary lane changes, tailgating, running a red or yellow light, and these behaviors create unsafe situations and can lead to road rage. So, to avoid aggressive driving, I'm going to give you some thoughts in case you have the thoughts of doing that or you've seen it. Let me drop it here for a moment. All right, keep your emotions in check and don't take frustrations out on other drivers. Plan ahead and allow enough time for delays. Focus on your own driving. Don't tailgate or flash your lights at another driver, and use your horn sparingly. Remember, we all share the road to take the necessary steps to keep yourself and others safe. And I see this every morning as I'm driving to school, is those drivers who like to go in and out of traffic cause you all of a sudden to hit that brake pedal. And I see a lot of people going through red lights. So yellow lights, you know, is sometimes hard to prevent. But I also see that. So I'm going to drop it here. I'm going to ask for some check-ins to come aboard. This has to do with driving, aggressive driving, and being intoxicated or some others, maybe being tired, use of safety belts, the cell phone, driving safety, fire safety, anything you want to talk about before I continue on. So at this point, those who are quiet out there, come aboard and share with us. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, the Sunday morning rag tube. Please come aboard.
KC2 Victor Juliet Hotel.
Victor Hotel, recheck.
All right, thank you so much. Well, good morning, Christine. See that you're not a member of South Cars, and that's why I wanted to send you a welcome email. I'll do that after the net, just to let you know how much fun we have out here on South Cars. We run so many nets out here, and we usually have a Sunday morning rag too. We have a Saturday evening and many during the day. So we're so glad that you could join us here this morning. I haven't seen your location, so maybe tell us your location. But thanks so much for joining us this morning. What's your thoughts on safety? Any type of safety you want to talk about, but welcome to South Cars.
Hi, thanks, Kathy. I live in upstate New York in Oneida County. The two big problems I've heard on the news are fires and babies dying, unfortunately. As far as the fires, we've had early snow, and it's like every other day there's an old house that either goes on fire from faulty electric or faulty heating. A teacher just died a few days ago in a fire. As far as babies, we've had two little boys that died from head injuries from their fathers, which is very sad. One died last week when his father was watching him. He was one. And another one this summer was 9 months, and there was a huge search because they thought the baby was missing, and unfortunately they found the baby's body in the Mohawk River, and the father just confessed after all these months. So, I don't know, just very sad death and injury that can be preventable. But it's a very interesting topic. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Christine, for coming aboard this morning. I'll make sure I send you a welcome email and put the offer out there to join our great organization. My name is Kathy, and my call sign is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. And I am the VOIP Net Manager, and that's what we're talking over now, is Voice Over Internet Protocol. But I'm also a high school teacher in the state of Florida. I teach 9th through 12th grade English and Social Studies. Don't have the weather that you have up north, but I lived in the state of Michigan for 55 years before I moved to Florida to begin my teaching career. But we heard this morning, I think it was Steve who's coming up next, talked about I think he said a train derailed. Was that anywhere close in your area? I'll throw it back to you, and then I'll make some comments about what you shared with us. Did you hear about the train derailment?
Hi. Yeah, I saw it on a Facebook post. That was in the Bronx, so I'm about, I'm towards Syracuse, about 6.5 hours northeast, but oh, what a terrible thing. I don't know, that cold weather, I hope, you know, perhaps the train rails froze, I don't know, but what an awful thing, and very sad. Thanks.
All right, Christine, thanks for being here this morning, and actually our assistant net manager, who did a net last night, he did it on Black Friday, is from Syracuse. His name is Gary Agnew, and his call is KC2RMO. So if you ever run across him on anything, just go aboard and say hi. He is such a special person, but he lives in Syracuse. And so he talks a lot about the weather, how cold it's been up there. I live in Vero Beach, Florida, about 10 minutes from the Atlantic coast. Right now it's a little bit of rain out there, but temperature is about 70, so it's not at all cold. I was able to throw away my scrapers and all that winter clothing when I moved to Florida. So thanks for being here this morning, Christine, and I will be sending you that email, and we would love to have you join us during our nets or any time, and I'll send you all that information. But you have a great day. But, you know, when you talk about fathers and their children, we have a lot of our high school students, girls and boys, are either mothers or fathers. Our youngest, I think, that I know about is 10 years old. She's a mother. But we have several young men who are 15 and 16 who have children. And I think just recently I saw some of them who got arrested for domestic abuse. So it's not only up there, it's in this area. But that's very sad, and very sad about children and adults not being safety conscious. But come aboard at any time you want to talk further. We're going to talk about cold and flu, and then we're going to talk a little bit about school safety. So I'll break with you, Christine, but welcome to South Cars. and to join us anytime. I'm going to pick up Steve once again, KFIVH, who actually today, Steve, I believe, is your retirement day. So happy retirement for 2 days. Thanks, and come aboard.
Well, thank you, Kathy. That's very nice of you to say. And welcome to Christine. I was going to give you a data point on seat belts. I was a volunteer firefighter and medical first responder. And the only motor vehicle fatality that I was involved in was a unbelted teenager, young lady. And out of all that was worked, she was the only one. She was unbelted and probably would have survived. She was in an open-top Jeep, and it went into a ditch, and she came out, and the Jeep came down on top. So seat belts work. And the crying you hear in the background is the little puppy Bingo. Back to you, Kathy, KF5VH.
Well, thanks for sharing that. My ex-husband was a volunteer fireman, and I know he had a lot of those where youngsters, teenagers think they're invincible. Nothing's ever going to happen to them, and so they're out there tearing up the roads with probably no seat belts on, and they really think that nothing's ever going to happen to them. And I'm thinking these three individuals. One was 16, the other two were 15, and actually the two 15-year-olds were twins. But they were all thrown from the vehicle. But I saw that car. It actually happened not too far from where one of the schools I teach at, and it was just demolished. It was just torn in half. So I'm thinking it may have been a seatbelt. I was going to ask you about Bingo, Steve. I haven't heard you talk about him, but I'm actually not hearing him. Did you get that fence all up, and how's that puppy doing?
Now, the fence is all done. Bingo's a West Highland White Terrier, or Westie. They're known for being puppies forever, very stubborn, and he is, best of breed because he's certainly stubborn. KF5VH.
All right. Thanks for sharing that, Steve. I don't have a puppy. It's been a long time because I don't think I could find the time to do what I needed to do with that puppy. My kitty cat is no longer a kitty. I mean, she's 7 years old, but sometimes I wonder about her as well. She has that little temper. When her ears start going up, I know I've got a problem, and I stay away from her. Right now, she's sitting right alongside me as I do the net. But thank you both, Christine and Steve. Let's talk about cold and flu for a while. Go away from the driving part and talk about that. Oh, the flu. You know, it's more stable and stays in the air longer than air is cold and dry. November can be a cold and dry season for some states, causing people to get sick with a cold or the flu. You know, keep your mouth covered with a tissue when you have to cough or sneeze, and wash your hands thoroughly and consistently so you don't spread cold or flu. You know, it's been a long time, I think, since I moved from the state of Michigan, that I have not had a cold. And I always think it's allergies down here. I've had it a couple times down here. It gets into my ears. But I haven't had it like a lot of people here in the state of Florida. You know, they get the flu shots and they have the cold and the flu, and they always think it's flu, whether it's cold or not. But, you know, up north, with the furnaces and the dry air, we would have to have the furnaces on, the humidifiers, and I think the change in temperatures and the mold in the grass that caused problems there. You know, it's important to address seasonal safety topics so people practice safe and healthy habits throughout the year. Many public and community resources, whether a school newsletter or a library forum, choose a relevant safety issue to correspond with each month of the calendar year. Let me drop it here for one moment. Winter seasonal safety topics address weather hazards such as driving in the snow and holiday safety. For December, explore habits for safe shoppers, such as not walking to a parked car alone at night with packages and looking inside the vehicle before entering. For January, address safe weather driving and explain how drivers safely transport themselves to and from work or school and how to drive on snow or ice. In February, present information about emergency preparedness at home. Encourage the purchase of emergency supply kits, including flashlights, water, and non-perishable foods in case of a power outage or weather emergency. In the state of Michigan, when I lived there, I had power outages about every few months during the winter time, and I had to learn how to bundle up and keep warm. Have the flashlights, not so much the candles. But at this point, let me throw it out there and see if I can get just some check-ins to talk about, and maybe any thoughts here before I move on. Have you had the cold or the flu lately? And what did you do to get over that? So at this point, I'm looking for check-ins.
Juliet Alpha Kilo.
Well, good morning, Mr. Jack. I've been wondering where you were. I thought you'd come aboard and talk to us about electrical safety and construction safety. So I'm glad that you're there, and you must have been away from your computer. But last night you probably disconnected before I threw it out there to find out from you what you're getting your kitty cats for Christmas, because I know about that nice gift you got them not too long ago, and whether you went out for Black Friday and got them anything. Talk to us this morning, Jack, about safety.
All right, I will. I did just get sat down here, so sorry I did miss the start of the net, but good morning, Miss Kathy, and good morning, South Cars. Electrical safety, well, where do we want to start here? Don't stick your fingers in the receptacles. You know, don't stick your scissors in those little slots and all this and that. But mainly for us, as far as hams, amateur radio field, electrical safety is pretty important. All our equipment has lugs on it to be grounded, so it should be grounded, separate from your household grounding, which otherwise you'll create a grounding loop and, you know, this and that. And but relatively, because if a house gets hit by lightning, you don't want it to come back into your equipment. Or if your equipment gets hit by lightning, you don't want it to go through that ground and come back into your house. So it's just hit or miss, whatever, but you got to. You definitely have to ground everything. Now, as far as the kitties, I can't say what we're getting them for Christmas because I have two of them here with me right now. And the third one, he went to the kitchen looking for food. So, you know, so I've got the two ladies with me, Baby Rue and Rammy. They're here. Ram's curled up in the other chair here in the radio room. And Rusey is on the desk in front of the screen. Like I said, Mr. Mudge, he's up wandering around looking for food. But I've already picked their dinner place up, or their breakfast place, I should say. So already been picked up. Let me let this drop a second. But I can't really tell you what they're going to get for Christmas because they're here and they'll hear me. And I don't care what anybody says. Animals do understand you. I'm a firm believer in that. That's why I'm getting the look from Ruth sitting right here, right now. Just looking at me. Maybe it's because I said her name, but whatever. But I know she understands. And I know yours understands also. And I'm glad yours is doing a lot better. That's about it. Not a whole lot going on. Like I said, I thought I would get in there and say good morning, one and all. And yes, I did. I did just connect last night after I was done there, almost the end of the net. But you know, went ahead and had some other things to do before I called it a night. Mama won't be home till tomorrow. She's been enjoying Maryland. She called a little bit ago, so she just confirmed her reservation, so she'll be home sometime tomorrow afternoon. I'll be at work, of course. I won't get to see her till I get home tomorrow night, but at least she'll get the pleasure and the joy of the kitten's company by herself. K4JAK, back to net.
Well, thank you, Jack, for sharing that. I didn't know Sharon was going away. I know that a while back her sister was coming down. I think you said Maryland. I'm not sure. Probably the state of Maryland is what you're talking about. Who would go from the state of Florida where it's nice and warm up to those cold temperatures? But she probably has family up there. Well, thanks for joining us this morning. And I put in the text box last night if you had heard about Lawnwood Elementary. I think that was a week ago. I was heading back from the data house and saw all these red and blue lights a flashing there on 25th and wondered what was going on there by the hospital. And turns out that a young child, which we're going to talk about school safety, you know, we really give the children a lot of information if they ever see anyone walking that they don't know out there with what they think is a gun to report it. And that's what this child did. Saw someone that she thought or he thought was carrying a gun, reported it to the teacher. Teacher reported to the principal, and the principal called 911, and they were under lockdown. And since we are so close, I wondered why we weren't, and I come to find out that they could not find anything. They searched the areas and could not find anything, but it was better to be safe than sorry. So thank you, Jack, for coming aboard, and maybe you can come aboard as we talk a little bit further about safety. And all I think about when you talk about hams and safety is the one problem that happened a few years back with that family of hams trying to put up, I think, an antenna and fell. And so we're going to talk about preventing slips and falls and trips and all that next. But let me drop it here for a moment. You know, some of us, even myself included, do this quite often. We want to prevent slipping and tripping and falling. Most falls are preventable. Many people attribute falls to being clumsy or not paying attention, but many risk factors exist. Risk factors include physical hazards in the environment, age-related issues, and health conditions. So reduce your risk and find fall hazards in your workplace and home to prevent injuries and keep others safe around the clock. I'm thinking even here with Thanksgiving when I will get on a chair in the kitchen and take myself up into the top of my spice cabinet to find spices or dishes way up. I'm usually very careful. But accidents could happen. So keep the floor and the stairs clean and clear of clutter. Maintain a good lighting both indoors and outdoors. Secure electrical and phone cords so they're not across. And I'm thinking of some of the cords. One of them is with my laptop. I have it hanging out, and sometimes I climb over the top of it. I haven't tripped, but, you know, there's always a first. Clean up spills. Wear sensible footwear. Never stand on a chair, table, or surface on wheels. You know, you don't want to do that. Arrange furniture to provide open pathways to walk through. And be aware that alcohol or other drugs, including prescription or over-the-counter medicine, can affect your balance and increase risk of falling. You also want to be careful about getting up in the middle of the night and walking through the house, not remembering where you are at, and crashing into some of that furniture, because this happened not too long ago with someone I know. So at this point, let me throw it out there and see if I have anyone that would like to come aboard and tell us about any experiences they've had with tripping and falling or crashing into furniture or just not being well aware of what they happened in their home. So at this point, let me throw it out there to see if we can get check-ins. All right, we have no check-ins there. I want to go through one final topic with you, and that's about school. But I do want everyone to make sure their home is safe. This talks about smoke alarms, you know. In the state of Michigan, I always used to change those when I needed the batteries, or when I'd always change the battery at different times. And I'm not sure if we do that too much here in Florida. I'm not sure how many smoke alarms I have, and Jack would know how many you're supposed to have. But make sure you keep track of those to make sure that they are all set in case there are maybe a fire in your home. But let me talk about my final topic today is very near and dear to my heart, and that is about school safety. So let me drop it here for just a moment. And I'll continue on. And like I said, school safety is very important to myself. We want to make sure that our children are safe in school, as well as the teachers or any staff members that are there. So I wanted to end our rag chew this morning talking about school safety and things that all schools take the precautions of. And I hope that people will come aboard, and anybody that's in education or works in a school or have young children will come aboard and share. So, you know, the shots that killed the 15 people April 20th, 1999 at Columbine High School were heard throughout the nation. But the changes prompted by that tragedy were still unable to prevent another school killing. On February 29, 2000, a first grader shot and killed a classmate in a Michigan elementary school, and more recent in the Sandy Hook tragedy in Connecticut. What have we learned from the Columbine and other tragedies? What do we still need to do? And are our children safe in school? And I talked about the incident in Michigan. This was actually very, very close to where I last lived. This happened in Flint. A six-year-old child had a playground scuffle with one of her classmates. The next day, that classmate took a gun to school, hidden in his pants. While the other students were lining up in the hallway for morning recess, the young girl who had the scuffle, that classmate who had the gun, shot her in the neck with one bullet that was in the gun, and she died instantly. You know, the countless improvements in school security prompted by Littleton's tragedy were still unable to prevent her murder in Flint. Although there is a downward trend in the number of violent school incidents and the students who take guns to school, school security continues to be a concern, as it has been for past decade. Let me drop it here a moment. Because I am in education, it is something that's very valuable and very important to me to make sure that I am safe as well as my children are safe. You know, we have to increase the security out there in the school districts. School districts throughout the country take precautions to lock down schools when danger is imminent. There have been many instances in my school district alone when we were in lockdown until an all clear signal was sent. Almost every school has a deputy on campus for protection. But students must learn to recognize the serious danger of guns. They must report students with guns immediately to an adult. Students sometimes don't want to be the snitches, even when they understand the gun could be aimed at them. Students in many locations have come forward and foiled plots to commit violence in their schools. We must teach even little kids that guns are dangerous, and that if someone gets out a gun, to run, to tell an adult. You know, I told a little bit about what happened just this past week at a local elementary school. Let me drop it here once again. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is the Sunday Morning Rag Chew. Our topic this morning is all about safety, and we're going to conclude this morning talking about school safety. Large schools are part of the problem. You know, one component of this complex problem is that most high schools are too large to create a personal environment. School districts build large schools or consolidate schools to create even larger schools. Experts now say that small high schools with about 600 students are much better for students. And actually, the one school I teach in only handles about 400 students. So I want to share a little bit about Code Red training with you this morning that happens, I think, throughout the country. And I'll explain how it's taken place here, and then maybe we can get anyone to come aboard. But before I do that, let me throw it out there to anyone who would like to come aboard and share with us about school safety in their schools, with their children. If you're in education, what happens? If you're in a university, what happens? Does it still take place there? So at this point, let me throw it out there to anyone listening to talk to us about school safety.
Six, Victor.
Victor Hotel.
Juliet Alpha Kilo.
All right, I have three check-ins, and Jack, you keyed back up, but I think that may have been the kitty cat doing that. At least we'll blame her on it. I have six, Victor, Victor Hotel, and JAK. Thanks so much for coming aboard and sharing with us this morning. If it's not school safety you want to share with us about, maybe it's some other safety. So Sixth Victor, thanks once again for being my backup. Thanks for coming aboard and sharing this morning. So come aboard and share with us once again.
Thanks, Kathy. KY6V here. I was just wanted to break in here and say that I hope that you tell the story when you get a little further on Code Red of when you were at a meeting or something at district and they had a lockdown situation and a bunch of teachers were crammed into a storage room that was smaller than it should have been, and how one of the teachers finally opened the door and walked out. I don't know if she was getting just compressed or something because of the darkness in the small room. And the deputy outside, you said, you're dead. You need to tell that story. KY6V, over.
Well, thank you, Gordon, but you spoiled the surprise. You've told most of it. But, yes, I'm going to share that as well as the Code Red that I had at Dale Casson's as well, and how important it is that those in schools, even though it's just a drill, you know, it needs to be handled the way it should be handled, and we've done pretty good. Yes, I will share both of those incidents just so everyone knows that St. Lucie County in our area is, you know, our sheriff's department and our police department are very valuable assets to us, and they give us increased training all the time. So with that, I'm going to throw it over to you, Victor Hotel, and maybe you can share with us about the university, whether they have any of these type of trainings or any experiences that have happened in Louisiana, or maybe just the schools, or maybe just your thoughts on school safety. Mr. Steve, KF5VH, come aboard.
Well, Kathy, if it's okay with you, go ahead and describe your K-12 setting, and then maybe I can contrast that with something at a distributed university.
Okay, if you and Jack don't mind, I'll share my two experiences. And this is training that happened as school begins. It is mandatory we go through Code Red training every single year. And this year was no exception. The deputy pretty much told us about guns, how they can penetrate any wall, and that you want to be very careful in having yourself down, as far down as you can go. But I'll explain what happened at our district office. I was at a professional development training, and all of a sudden came across these speakers. I think it was a lady. She said, we have a Code Red. Please report to your area. And of course, since we were visitors, we didn't know the area, but there was a whole bunch of us that had to head to this closet. This was our designated area. There was 25 of us, men and women, and we headed into this closet. Now, this closet was, I don't know, not too big, no lights, a door, no windows. And so we all headed in there. The door was shut. And the policy is that you have to realize that this is only a drill, but it could be the real thing. And we didn't know that. So let me drop it here, and I'll tell you what transpired in the next little while. All right, we were all in this closet, 25 of us, men and women. No air in that closet, no lights. We couldn't see each other. We didn't know how close we were to each other. So we could see footprints on the outside, and we had someone come to the door and shake the door. So we knew they were checking us out, but we were all pretty quiet at that point. And that was about 10 or 15 minutes. And it got to the point, this one lady, she said, I can't stand this anymore. And we said, you have to stay here until we get the all clear. So our superintendent at the time was Michael Landon. He was a male. A woman came on and she said, code green, all clear. So this lady says, I got to get out of here. And she ran open and opened that door. And there were those deputies outside with their make-believe guns. And they said, you're all dead. And I'll drop it here for just a moment and explain why we all ended up to be dead. The policy on Code Red training is you never, never remove yourself from that safe area until that superintendent's name or the principal's name is said. So if someone came across and said, "Mike, this is Michael Landon, code green, all clear," you could leave. So that was my first incident. I was dead the first time because this lady said she could not stand being enclosed that long. So let me explain to you what happened at Dale Casson's. Probably a year after that, we had a code red training. Let me drop it once again. And by all this, you can understand how very valuable this is in case a shooter would have been in the area. So at Dale Casson, same thing. I took all my children into a bathroom. No cell phones, no lights, 25 kids, and we had to be very, very, very quiet. And we had to make sure the outside doors were locked. We had to make sure that the windows were locked. All lights were off. I was in a computer room. I had to make sure the computer monitors were off. And versus putting all the children on the floor, I took them into a bathroom that could not be accessed from any area. So we stayed in that room. Someone entered our room and was just taking the handle of that bathroom door and just shaking it. We were very, very quiet. No one knew we were in there. And that lasted for almost a half an hour. Kids didn't say a word. And then after that, someone came on and said, code green, all clear, but it was not the principal. So we stayed there for about another 10 minutes. After that, our principal came on and said, this is Ellen Hardin, code green, you can now leave. So at that point, we were not dead, but our whole school was 100% not dead. So with that, hope that you enjoyed that. That is how valuable Code Red training is to our teachers in the state of Florida. And I'll turn it over to you, Steve.
Well, thank you, Kathy. This is KF5VH. My wife works at a middle school, and they have like five colors they use for different things, for evac and shelter in place and all that. But I work at a university and deal with the emergency notification system. I guess I should say I worked at a university and dealt with the notification system. It's a fourfold system. You have push messages and you have pull messages. So one thing that starts before the incident is students, when they register for classes, also register emergency phone numbers and their email addresses and everything else. So the first thing that happens is somewhere between, and our university is 18,000 students, 2,000 staff. First thing we do is we launch about 30 to 40,000 emails with the message in it. At the same time, a voicemail is recorded. It's not really a voicemail, it's a message, and a couple thousand people on campus can use the campus phone system and dial an easy to remember number, 22222, and they can all hear the emergency message. At the same time, I think it's 32,000 text messages get launched, not only to people associated with the university, but people around us that we may need for assistance. And then, in case all of those systems fail, let me let the timer reset. In case those systems fail, you may have seen NOAA weather radios for like hurricane and tornado watches and warnings. We have an agreement with the local parish government. One of the codes, local civil emergency, is reserved for the university. So we have 200 weather radios. And by making a call to the appropriate people with appropriate magic words. If our other systems are down, we can set off those 200 radios around campus. With a message that says we have a campus emergency, and then from there, it has to be played by ear. So a little different when you're spread out over a couple hundred buildings and several hundred acres. Back to you, Kathy, KF5VH.
Thanks for sharing that, Steve. I know from experience, I guess, they send out a all call to, if this is happening in our school, they will send an all call to the parents, to their home phones, and when you talk about emergency number, to let them know that we're having a code red alert, so that they know that this is happening. And it's usually just said it's an alert. We've never in my school had shooters in the area. We've had them by vehicles in the area, and we've been under lockdowns, but not the same thing. And we have the we have to put it used to be we put a green a sheet in our window to let the police on the outside know that everything was okay in that room. But it also told the police this year, they pretty much told us that the shooters know what the colors mean now. They can know that the green means that it's okay, and so we don't put those in the windows any longer. The code red, of course, is that we're under that lockdown. Code yellow is only given by the police, you know, they'll come room to room, and they'll come in and tell you whether it you can release the children if it's not by the green. So we're under a lot of training, as well as I'm sure a lot of people throughout the country are, because it is very valuable. And as far as I understand, let me drop it here for a moment. This year during our training, the police officer, the trainer, told us about Sandy Hook. The reason what happened in the two rooms was because those were the only two rooms that were not locked. So with that, I've been letting Jack hold there for a long time, so I'm going to call on him. Thank you so much, Steve, and I want to thank everyone else who's been listening and contributed this morning. But school safety is on the top of my list right now, because, of course, I am in education. So, Jack, what are your thoughts this morning?
Well, thank you, Kathy. K4JAK here. And that's a great idea with the weather radio, Steve. I like hearing that. That's excellent, even though it's a spread-out campus. But that's something that all the school districts could use, just for the simple fact that something's going on in one area, the others could know what's going on, and at least be up to date with it. I like that. I really do. The other thing, all the code reds and all that, that's all great. All your training is great. But still, the one thing you can't account for is, it's like the individual there at Sandy Hook, the mentally unbalanced. You know, he had access to weapons from his mother, of course, but he still had the access to them. He wasn't right in the head. He didn't go in the normal way. He went in through a window. Now, I mean, I know, and believe me, I'm all against what happened. But I still say you need to be able to completely protect yourself however you have to. And as far as the kids are our number one priority, because they're our future. And we definitely have to protect them any way we can. But like I said, all the preparation and all that's great, but you also have the crazy. That's the only way I can put it. The nut who, it doesn't matter what you do or how you do it, he's going to find a way around it to complete what he wants to do. You know, the mentally unstable are extremely intelligent. You know, they said there's a fine line between genius and you know, and being crazy, and sometimes that line is right there, and they're just they're something else. They really are. But and I knew about Lawnwood as close as I live to your schools. It there where you teach at, Kathy. Those of you that don't know, Kathy teaches here in the town that I live in. But it affects over here, just like the chase that day that that ended up a few blocks away from the house with the shooting here, which went right by your school, right up there. it's unbelievable. But really, let me let it drop here a second. But like I said, I agree with all that's done to protect the teachers and the students. I think there could be more. And I'm sure, you know, as things progress and, and time goes on, they come up with more. But I have to agree with you, Kathy, and I'm not crazy over our police department here in Fort Pierce, but the county, the sheriff's department is just a number one. They are tremendous. I have nothing that I could say against them in any way, shape, or form. They do the best of their ability, and you know, I'm up bright and early in the morning. I have the scanner on, and some of the stuff that I hear just is unbelievable. And 99% of the time, they're the ones that are answering the calls, even in the city, because the city cops are busy doing something else, and it's the county that does respond to them. But kudos to them, definitely. They do a tremendous job, especially where it comes to the schools with the school resource officers, and that's up there number one on their agenda, next to protecting their officers and their officers' families are the children and our schools. And with that said, I'll give it back to you, Kathy. K4JAK back to K6SUN.
Well, thank you, Jack, so much for sharing that. Yes, they're always there, and they have told us during the trainings that leave it up to us. We are the ones that we're protecting you and the children. Leave everything else up to us. And they have told us if you all of a sudden decide or the children are going to try to outdash that shooter, they're going to have to handle, you know, deal with us. I heard that from the children a lot. I'm not going to be locked in a room or flat on the floor. I'm going to outrun this person, jump over the fence. And, you know, that is definitely a no-no. So sometimes they're not taking it serious. I haven't had yet to take it real serious because it hasn't happened in the school. But like you said, I've had the car chases alongside the school. I've had shooters doing something over in some of the banks or the stores and dashing through the fields. So they are there to protect us, and I can't say enough about the St. Lucie Sheriff's Department. They are there. We have three resource officers that's always there to watch our back. So, with that, Mr. Gordon, can you do me a favor? I need to sort of head down the hall for just a moment. Could you maybe just go through a series of announcements, and that'll give me time to come back. Then we'll conclude this morning with any final check-ins. Can you do that for me, KY6V?
Sure, I'd be happy to, Kathy. Didn't give me much warning, so I'm going to have to ad lib it here. Good session this morning. Thanks, everybody. Steve, I'd be interested in knowing, is this somewhat a standard procedure in the universities? Because it sounds very similar to the universities that I've been involved with. My son's finishing up his master's up there in Akron, and it sounds like, I don't think they have 18,000 kids, though, so you had a big campus. But they've got at least 6,000 or 7,000, I would imagine. But it sounds like it's about the same. Would you like to comment on that, Steve? Is this somewhat universal with maybe some hometown frills attached, over?
Well, Gordon, I'd like to think that we have a couple more layers than most people do. Nowadays, most universities do at least a text. Some do email. In addition, we call every telephone on the campus. We call all off-campus phone numbers that have been registered with us. And as far as I know, we're the only university using the NOAA weather radio system as a backup. The other ones are fully based on the data network and the telephone network. And we wanted a method that was outside of our facilities. Those radios even have battery backup in them. So if we would totally lose facilities, we wanted a way to get word out. KF5VH.
Yeah, that's the first time I've heard of the NOAA weather radios, and I think that's an excellent idea, Steve. Well, very good. Ladies and gentlemen, we've had a good week here. I would draw your attention to our website. We've put a couple of new things in there. We now have a page for bios on our staff. Each of our main staff people have written up a little bit of what they're all about, and that's all posted, some good reading. So if you have a chance, take a look. You'll get to know who's behind the scenes here with South Cars. And, Kathy, if you're back, I'll let you take it from there. If you want to get into, I don't have it handy here, some of the upcoming schedules for the weeks before us. We're going to have a couple of specials. 24th will be a Santa Express that we do every year. And then, of course, we'll have a New Year's powwow and get-together on the 31st. Anything like that you'd like to touch on, Kathy? KY6-way.
This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. Thank you so much, Gordon. And you need to head down the hall, and I appreciate you stepping in. Yes, I'd be happy to go over a little bit with the future schedule because there's quite a bit out there. And like Gordon says, check out our website. Everything is there as far as our NCS schedule, our programs, the SCARIS bios, and maybe any upcoming events we have happening. So make sure you check that out on a regular basis. When that mass mailing goes out, you usually get all this information, but you know, if you wanted it beforehand, it's usually there. I do want to thank everyone this morning, but I also want to emphasize safety to everyone, whether it's food, car, house, children, school, anything with safety. Make sure that you're safe. Safe in whatever you do, be careful. But before I go through the schedule and close this morning, I'd like to throw it out there once again and see if there is anyone that has any final comments they'd like to come aboard with. But I've enjoyed it thoroughly this morning, and hopefully we can get this on our website as a podcast because I think we had some valuable information. So anyone else want to come aboard before we wind down and check in and make any final comments? All right. Once again, I want to thank each and every one of you for what you shared this morning, for listening, and for being connected. But I want to tell you about some of our upcoming programs on this Saturday, actually the day of Pearl Harbor, December 7th. Gordon and I will present a program on Pearl Harbor. Hopefully you'll join us for that. That's the Global Family Hour, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And on a Sunday, our session is Ask an Elmer. We always have a very valuable session with that. You have any ham-related questions out there. Throughout the month, we will talk about winter, and we'll have a trivia session, and we'll talk about December of Fun. On our rag chews, two of them, we will not have a rag chew on the 22nd nor the 29th. Instead, we'll have Santa Express on Christmas Eve and a Happy New Year special on New Year's Eve. And we always have fun doing those. So that schedule is posted on our website, and please check it out. But let me close this morning. Everyone have a wonderful day. A wonderful week ahead of you. Actually, my Thanksgiving break is ending. As of today, I return to school, but only about 10 days, or maybe it's about 20 days. I go on vacation the 20th of December for Christmas. Let me drop it here before I close. So this has been South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. VOIP and net schedules and general information may be found on our website, and that's www.voip.southcars.com. Your net control for this session has been Kilo 6 Sierra United November. My name is Kathy, with Gordon KY6V as my backup. Thanks, 73, in closing this DOIP session. Thank you, everyone, for your participation. The net is now closed and returned to regular amateur use. Everyone, have a great day and a great week ahead of you. And hopefully we'll see you next weekend. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, along with KY6B, saying bye-bye for now.